This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. I'm G. Sampath, your host for today's episode. On September 9th, American automobile major Ford announced that it was shutting down manufacturing operations in India. This will result in a loss of around 4,000 jobs. Ford apparently had run up losses of over $2 billion over 10 years and took this drastic step to stay profitable. Ford, however, is only the latest in a series of automobile companies who brought in FDA to India with great expectations but decided to leave in a few years. This runs counter to our government's Make in India initiative, which aims to turn India into a preferred global destination for manufacturing. So what exactly is ailing India's automobile sector? Is there a mismatch between production capacity and consumer demand? Are there regulatory issues? Or are there other constraints that compel foreign auto majors to pull the plug on India, which incidentally is still one of the largest car markets in the world? To give us some insights on this issue, we have with us Puneet Gupta from IHS Market, a leading business and market intelligence consultancy. As the Director of Automotive Sales Forecasting at IHS Market, Puneet leads the South Asia and ASEAN Sales Forecasting Team and is responsible for future product intelligence, market insights, and trends assessment. Puneet, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sampath, for the introduction. And it's really great, to be on this podcast. And a very good afternoon to all the listeners of this podcast.
Puneet, to start with, can you talk a little bit about the reasons for Ford's decision to stop all manufacturing operations in India? Are these reasons specific to Ford or are they symptomatic of larger problems constraining the Indian market?
I think firstly, it's very unfortunate, that Ford has ended its 26 years ride in India and said, goodbye to India in terms of production. So primarily, I think that it's a cocktail of both. So it's basically reasons which are internal to Ford. And obviously, there are challenges related to the Indian market. So let me touch on both of them. Firstly, if I talk about India market, I think we all know it's a pretty highly competitive market, and actually it's a ruthless market, primarily with almost 70% of the car market being handled by Suzuki and Hyundai. So it's clearly an oligopolistic market, where there is a cutthroat competition, and almost I think the 20-80 theory remains hold true here, because you can say that almost 20% of the market lies with almost 80% of the players. Which makes it, further challenging for players like Ford or players like Volkswagen or Nissan to really be profitable in the market. And what further adds to this complexity is, that average price of the car in Indian industry today is around 6.5 lakh. So please mind here, 6.5 lakhs includes almost 40%, 40 to 50% taxation. It includes margins, it includes raw material cost, designing cost, everything. So I think you yourself can calculate that the global companies or any automotive company in India really works on thin margins. And I think though the average price car in India has gone up in last 5 years, I think 5 years back it was even more complex because the average car price was around 4.5 lakhs. But now, obviously with our per capita income growing, with disposable income growing, with more models, this average price has gone up by gone up to 6.5 lakhs, but it is still very, very less. And moreover, I think there is one more theory here, that what works in India, may not work across the globe, and what works across the globe may not work in India. So I think this further reflects that if you have to be in India, you really have to be pretty India-centric, and thus making, situation more complicated. So now if I touch on few reasons related to internally to Ford, I think I personally see Ford as, one of the fantastic OEMs, and we as a country, or I as a consumer, was definitely lucky to ride products from Ford. And I think Ford as an organization also had really a lot of hopes, and they have invested, as you said, you know, $2 billion in India. They had two plants with a capacity of 4.4 lakhs unit, and one of the plants, specifically the newly built Sanand plant, had really the state of art technology, you know. But unfortunately, you know, if we further dig into it, I think the utilization rates were almost 60% in these plants, you know, which further adds to the complexity, because if your utilization rates are poor, you know, then obviously the per cost fixed overheads, you know, goes up on the car. And apart from that, if we see Ford, you know, I think though Ford has given few India-centric models, you know, like Ford EcoSport, Ford Figo, Ford Aspire, you know, but I think for a long time, you know, we have been seeing a model fatigue in their product portfolio. You know, we have not been seeing new models, and in a competitive market like India, where players like Suzuki or players like Hyundai, you know, or players like Tata Motors are continuously adding a new product, you know, a new platform to their portfolio, and Ford being one of those OEMs which have not been aggressive in last, you know, I'll say 3 years, and not adding new products. So obviously this further adds, you know, to a kind of a kind of stability, you know, and customers really don't come back to you as a brand. And obviously, you know, in India, the product development costs are high. And I think if I narrow it down, I think one of the biggest problem what I think Ford has exhibited is because it's India doesn't really fit into their global strategy. You know, Ford globally is obviously looking for a sustainable way forwards toward profitability, which comes through making cars which are more cleaner, more efficient, and more greener, you know. And somewhere in India, you know, I think we are really still a few years away from that kind of revolution. And I think that's the reason why Ford Global, you know, team has decided to not to make India as a part of their growth story, you know, in the next years.
Puneet, you shared an interesting fact. You said Ford's two plants, they were operating at 60% capacity. Is it possible that they overestimated the size of the Indian market?
No, I really don't think so, you know, because I think if we see today, you know, I think if I talk about Indian complete auto industry, you know, we are the largest two-wheeler market in the world. We are the second biggest bus manufacturer in the world. We are the third biggest truck market in the world. And we are the fifth biggest car market in the world. So I think it's no way, you know, that Ford has overestimated the size of Indian market. And maybe, you know, I throw some more numbers for our listeners. So I think India market in 2001 was roughly around 750,000 units. And if we see 2018, which was almost the peak of car sales, the India market domestic car sales was roughly around 4 million units, which includes light vehicles, which is like, you know, cars plus LCVs. So it really means that India market has quintuple in two decades, you know, so that's phenomenal. It's a CAGR of around 9%, which is great, you know. And if I further do a split, you know, from 2000 to 2010, the first 10 years, you know, the India car market has grown by roughly 18% CAGR, 18% CAGR, and Ford has also grown in double digit by 13% CAGR. But now, you know, the problem, the challenge lies in the last 10 years, which was from 2011 to 2020, or if I leave the COVID year, maybe 2019, there the India market has just grown by a CAGR of 1.5%, you know, and I think Ford there has actually grown more than the Indian auto industry, which was 2.5% CAGR. So I think what I really want to say is, you know, I think India has its own challenges. Maybe, you know, we can discuss it in the further precautions, but I think it's very clear that last 10 years, last decade, has not been great for Indian automotive industry. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why we have been seeing a lot of players exiting India, you know, because nobody's here in India to see a growth, a CAGR growth of 1 or 2%.
Right. Well, as you just mentioned, Ford is not the first to exit India. Earlier, we have had Harley-Davidson leaving, then Germany's MAN truck and bus, then General Motors also exited before them. So is there any chance that the problems in India's auto sector are also linked to larger global trends?
I think yes. I think you are absolutely right here, you know, because I think there has been a seismic shift and auto industry globally is going through transformation. Obviously, I think now it is more about a connected, shared and electric mobility, you know, so I think that is where the future lies. And primarily, if you see, you know, all these players, you know, you took name of General Motors or you took name of Harley-Davidson or Ford, you know, that way. So all of them now are serious or, you know, they just want to invest their resources in the core market, you know, so that they really don't miss on the mobility revolution, you know, because it's very important if Ford is there in the mobility revolution, if they are in the auto industry in next 1 or 2 decades, then they can always come back to India, you know, but for now, you know, I think it's definitely a challenge for their top management, you know, to decide whether they really want to invest in countries like India, which are relatively very, very low on ROI, and they are hungry for capital, for resources, and are really not self-sustainable in terms of profitability. So I think it's basically, you know, obviously, like what you said, you know, that it is a part of larger global trend because auto industry itself is going through a big revolution change.
What exactly do you mean by this mobility revolution? What does it consist of?
Okay, so I think if I say, for example, you know, I take an example which is very relevant for India, maybe autonomous, right? Or maybe electric, right? So I think when we talk about autonomous, I think India is still way, way away from it. Or maybe I don't know if we really need in the same, you know, pattern where what is there in the global market. And if I really talk about, you know, electric, let us say, world, which is moving towards more cleaner and greener fuels, you know, I think still India is around 4 to 5 years away from that kind of electric revolution, specifically in cars, you know. So obviously, I think once in the world, we see that people are closing, you know, products with ICE engines, you know, they are moving towards electric or they are moving toward, you know, a connected world, you know, where the customer sitting in the car is clearly updated about what's happening around him and is clearly on the top of the world. So I think we are still away from a lot of those things. I think we are still a traditional car making industry. And actually, I think the government has that way been pushing hard, you know, but nevertheless, you know, I think the biggies are still not taking that kind of initiative, you know, to push or innovate, you know, in such technologies in India.
Right. So if I may rephrase what you just said in layman's terms, so would it be correct to say that your what you mean by mobility revolution in terms of global trends is that everyone is moving towards autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles and smart cars, whereas India is not quite there in this scene and it's a few years behind this scene?
Yeah, we are just few years behind, you know, so I think it's not like that in India, these kind of technologies will not come. You know, obviously it is come because our customer is also aspirational, you know, so our needs are also same as that of global world, you know, but the only thing is that, you know, the a capital investment, you know, whatever is required. So basically the Indian players or, you know, the Indian investors may not be having such deep pockets, you know, primarily seeing the kind of returns what you have in India, you know. So maybe, and secondly, you know, obviously it also depends on the customer, because as I said in the beginning of my talk, you know, that still the average price is around 6.5 lakhs, which is hardly anything, you know, if you really want to take these technologies forward and incorporate in your products.
Okay, let's go with this point that you're making, that Indian car market is extremely price conscious, and therefore with an average price of 6.5 lakhs or whatever, manufacturers have very thin margins, and you know, it may not be a viable business wise. So now that you've invested in this country already and you've got this huge capacity, like Ford does, for instance, which is going at 60%, why can't you use that capacity and use India as a beachhead for exports?
I think exports has been a success mantra, you know, for the global OEMs. You know, for example, if you see Ford itself, you know, they have exported around 150,000 units annually. You know, if you see VW, so they have been also using India as an export hub for exporting to big markets like Mexico, and they were also exporting more than 100,000 units. Similarly, if you see Nissan, you know, so they were also, they had also exported, you know, to the extent of you know, something around 150,000 units, right? So I think this has been a success mantra, and most of the you know, OEMs, global OEMs in India, has been smartly using this strategy, you know, of giving a competitive product to Indian customers and parallelly, you know, exporting those products from India. You know, but now, you know, I think what the challenge lies is, you know, that ultimately, you know, these kind of products may not find a market. You know, because ICE markets are, you know, clearly, so ICE products are clearly not in demand. And obviously, there are local.
What did you mean by ICE markets and ICE products?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, ICE is internal combustion engine. You know, so I mean to say the engines, petrol engines or diesel engines, you know, so they, the cars with such engines may not be in demand. Right, because now in those specific markets, they are moving towards electric, right? And secondly, even if there is any, you know, petrol or diesel markets, you know, so then, you know, they may have their own internal manufacturing capacities, you know. So I think seeing this, you know, we are seeing all the players like VW, Ford, you know, Nissan, GM. So they have been actually cutting on, you know, their exports from India, which is actually societal for a country like India, you know, and primarily for auto industry, which contributes almost 49% to the manufacturing GDP. You know, so the only thing is that, you know, that the players in India, you know, the suppliers in India or the ecosystem in India, you know, they also innovate, you know, they also you know, walk in at par with the global peers, and you know, learn and implement technologies in India, you know, so that we can start with the export of electric cars or future technologies from India.
So one of the arguments which I have read in some reports suggests that if India had brought in the vehicle scrappage policy some 20 years ago. Rather than doing it now, maybe we would not be seeing so much of churn and so many exits. Maybe the market would have matured a little bit earlier. It would have acquired some depth. Do you agree with this point of view?
No. I think I don't agree, you know, because I don't think so. Maybe to some extent, it may be a right reason. But even if you see today, you know, the car penetration in India is just 32 per thousand. You know, so which means that there is still huge potential, you know, for customers to own cars, you know, because they are still either don't have a car, you know, or they are just having a bike, right? So with such a low car penetration, you know, which is just 32 per thousand, so I don't think that scrappage scheme can be the only driver to growth, you know, because we have our own customers, you know, we have our own natural demand, which is much, much more than the replacement demand.
But if that is the case, Puneet, what about the used car market? I mean, that also doesn't seem to be taking off either.
So I think if we see used car market today, that's roughly, 1.5 times of the new car market, which is reasonably good. But I think going forward, you will see it be something around a multiple of 2.2, and I think now the time has come for used car market, because now, there are a lot of organized players in the market, for example, Carwale or Spinny, or Gaadi.com, or a lot of OEMs, getting into it, very strongly, and I think and further, the digital world is further, adding to the used car, it will further give a flip, to the used car market. So I think primarily the time for used car has come, and obviously with the new cars getting more and more expensive, I think we will see customers moving into used cars and buying used cars, and specifically when the consumer aspiration is high, right? Today he doesn't want to drive a mini car, he directly wants to get onto a compact car like Swift or Baleno, primarily there the role of used cars will become more important, because once the industry is organized, sitting on the digital or on the websites, or through digital mechanism like WhatsApp, you have access to configuration and details of every used car, and I think this will really propel, the used car market in India. And now we are also seeing, because of the organized players coming in, we are seeing, tricks like financing, tricks like insurance, tricks like, tricks like the confidence in buying a used car. So I think those things are coming back, and consumers are sticking to used car much more, what it was 5 or 10 years back.
When you say digital operators and so on, were you referring to fleet operators and players like Uber and Ola, etc.? Because
No. So digital, I mean to say, here players like Carvale or, like Spinny, because they have their own websites, they reach you, through their AI models. Right. And this is how, the customer knows, or OLX, for example, because customers see, the cars and approach them, and then they are as professional as, OEMs, which really helps.
Right, because one of the things, again, which people have been talking about is the fact that after COVID, the growth of players like Ola and Uber, who used to be a big source of absorbing vehicles, it has sort of paused or hit a pause button because people have been working from home. Their demand has really come down. So that could be one of the reasons also why the Indian car market hasn't really grown since 2019, has it?
Yeah, I think you are right. I think absolutely, undoubtedly, with Uber and Ola really, absorbing the kind of market, because they generally contribute around 7 to 8% of the new car sales, or if I include even other fleet players. And so I think because these are not buying new cars, so obviously there is a hit on new cars. But nevertheless, as an analyst, I'm very confident, that shared mobility, with the kind of population we have, and the kind of missing link in terms of public transportation, I think shared mobility is the way forward. So in maybe post COVID, for 1 or 2 years, we may not see much growth with these players, but I think unlike global markets, I think India would be one of the markets where shared mobility will come back very fast, because actually this is what puts on the wheel at a very low cost, so I think it makes people mobile and with just a little amount. So I think it will come back, but yes, it may take some 1 or 2 years, before we really start seeing growth back in the shared mobility world.
Right. Let's move on from the market side of things to the regulatory side of things. I mean, we all heard Toyota complaining some time back that it is not going to go ahead with its expansion plans in India because of high taxation rates. I mean, are there serious issues in India's taxation approach? I mean, I understand that it is linked to the size of the wheelbase and so on and so forth. In terms of being industry friendly, how does India's taxation regime compare with, say, other markets in Southeast Asia, ASEAN countries and so on?
So I think there is no doubt, you know, that the tax structure in India is actually impediment to the growth, you know. So I think it's very clear that it's really unfriendly. So I think I'll say it in two parts, you know. I'll divide it into two parts. So one is, you know, that taxes are relatively high. You know, so if I compare a sedan or an SUV, bigger SUV today, so the tax structure reaches around 50%, which is very, very high. And on the other side...
You mean 50%, 50?
50, yeah. And on the other side, you know, what bigger the problem is, you know, what adds to the problem is, you know, that there is a sub-4 meter policy, you know, that if the car is less than... 4 meters, you know, so then you get a friendly tax structure, which is roughly around, you know, then the car costing comes to the taxes comes to around 28-30%. You know, so primarily now what happens, you know, because of this sub-4 meter policy, actually the global OEMs, you know, they lose the opportunity to bring in their products in India, because if they bring their products in India, there will be, you know, they will be more than sub-4 meter, they will be more than 4 meter, and if they are more than 4 meter, then they will come in the 50% tax slab, broadly I'm talking about. And you know, and my you know, a voice and request to the Indian government is that now it's the time to reinvent, rethink and rebuild this policy, you know, because this is really now you know, really a pain for the global OEMs, you know, and actually, you know, I hope we don't see such big exits from India. So I think it's the time to now get away from this sub-4 meter policy, and you know, and maybe that can be a big support from the government, you know, to the global OEMs, because this way, you know, because till the time global OEMs were still thinking of making India-centric products, but now, you know, I don't think so. With the industry going through such a big transformation, you know, so these global players will never make an India-centric product, right? So, because now they have limited resources, you know, they have to invest in future technologies. So, I think now government should go away with this sub-4 meter policy, you know, and they should keep at par, you know, kind of a taxation for all the vehicles. You know, maybe electric can be, you know, given some benefit. I don't say that, but yeah, but at least there should not be anything on the basis of length, you know, because I think even if that happens, I think that will be a great support from Indian government to the global OEMs, because otherwise, you know, we have already seen players like, you know, GM exiting, Ford exiting, and maybe players like Ford would not have exited the top 5 big markets of the world, because India is obviously, you know, among the top 5 markets of the world. They would not have exited in case they would not, they have been able to replicate their, you know, other petrol or diesel products in India. But since they can't do that, because, you know, it doesn't make sense to introduce products more than 4 meters, you know, so basically that rules out, you know, such products. But otherwise, I think now
I'm quite mystified, like, what is the logic behind this 4 meter rule? I mean, I'm quite curious.
So I think, you know, when it was being made, you know, 10 years back or 12 years back, 13 years back, you know, basically the fundamental was that we used to promote, you know, India wants to promote small cars, because obviously, you know, we have a challenge of infrastructure, we have a challenge of roads, you know. But I think now, you know, specifically seeing, you know, that now the global OEMs are not going to get into this trap of sub-4 meter, you know, a product. So they will just exit, you know, because they know that they really can't make something special for India, specifically, you know, ICE cars. So and they can't really replicate their global products in India, because they are all more than sub-4 meter. They are all more than 4 meter length. So they will just find an easy way, you know, to exit from India. You know, so I think when it was made, I think, yeah, maybe at that time the industry was developing, you know, the average car price was very, very less. So maybe at that time it made sense, you know, that, okay, we are a small car market. The concept for small is beautiful, you know, but now the world is changing, right? The India has changed. Our roads have changed, you know, and the needs have changed. So basically, and maybe it's the time that we make India a hub, you know, for export of ICE cars, you know, and let at least these global OEMs like Ford, GM, whatever is the ICE car market left in the world, you know, let them export through India. But and if basically, you know, India and so basically, you know, I think the government, Indian government, has to get and do a little deep dive, you know, that okay, Ford exiting small markets is understandable, right? But Ford exiting a market like India, which is among the top five markets, is something which is really to be debated.
Puneet, we spoke about the taxation regime being a little unfriendly. What about the non-taxation components of the regulatory regime in India? I don't know about fuel policy and other regulatory aspects. Many automobile majors, one can sense, are quite unhappy with the regulatory regime, even those aspects of it which don't have to do directly with taxation. What are their main complaints?
Yeah, so I think India has been on two extremes, right? So one is like if you see from 2000 to 2010, you know, so we were having a kind of policy paralysis, right? So, and now, you know, if we see last 4-5 years specifically, I think there has been an overdose of regulations. So I think we are working on two extremes, you know, either no, you know, upgradation, you know, which is again not good for a country like India. And even, you know, if you are too much obsessed with the standard or the policies, you know, then also it is not too good, because if there is no roadmap, you know, then I think it is very difficult for players like Ford or any global OEM, you know, to work in India, because if you bring a lot of policies, you know, if your decision making is in haste, you know, and
like, can you give an example of any particular policy that has been a pain point?
Yeah, for example, you know, let us say now a BS4, right? So like BS4 started in 2010, you know, and from 2010 to 2017, right? So it took 7 years for BS4 to spread across the country, right? And then, you know, in India, the BS6, you know, we skipped BS5 clearly, and then BS6 was brought just in a span of 2 years, you know. So BS4 took 8 years, you know, to spread in India, you know. So first it was limited to metros and then smaller cities, and it took 8 years. And then it took just 2 years, you know, to move from BS4 to BS6, which is our emission standard, and that to skipping BS5, and that to in a short period of, you know, 3 years, you know. So I think if there is so much pressure, you know, on the OEMs, and specifically seeing, you know, we are a market where profitability is very less. I've given you a very thumb rules, you know, that how much profit OEM can be making from India, you know, when you have a taxation of roughly around 50% on the cars, right? And when average car price is 6.5 lakhs, right? So I think it is time, you know, for the government to really build a roadmap, you know, maybe even if it is at par to Europe or the developed market, it is fine. But I think what any industry or any corporate needs is a clear sightedness, a clear vision, you know, so that they can follow and invest in India.
Right. It also seems to be the case that American auto companies are struggling more than, say, Korean or Japanese ones in India. I mean, Hyundai, Honda, Kia, and Suzuki, they seem to have adapted to a great extent to the kind of market India is, whereas American companies seem to be a little bit less flexible. Is this the case?
Maybe it's not the case, but yeah, you know, broadly today we can see that, you know, that Koreans and Japanese fundamentally are, keeping their investments in India, and Americans are finding an easy way to move out from India. And I think to some way, I think it is right because, you know, India is a heterogeneous continent. You know, we have a lot of customers with different needs, with different aspirations, and all these customers, you know, need car manufacturers to be very agile, and, you know, they want car manufacturers to adapt as per, you know, the Indian environment. You know, for example, even if they are giving a car, you know, so it should be sub 4 meters so that the customer gets it at an attractive price, you know. And so generally, you know, when you come to American companies, you know, I think what we have seen is that though they are agile, you know, but in terms of decision making, you know, they are relatively slow when it comes to India, you know, because the decision making for India is happening in US, right? So I think it takes time, you know, for the Indian management to convince the global management and take approvals. And by the time, you know, they take approval, it takes 2 to 3 years, you know, or convince their global management, you know, it takes 2 to 3 years. And by that time, you know, the market has really moved on. So I think, whereas if you see Japanese, for example, like Maruti Suzuki, you know, I think there, you know, the decision making, a large part of decision making lies in India, you know, which really helps Maruti Suzuki to be really agile, you know, and really quick on decision making. Similarly, if you see, you know, players like Tatas or Mahindras, though they are Indian, you know, but why they are more, you know, more India India specific, because they are able to churn out, you know, products which is as per the requirement of Indian customer. You know, and I think American hairs, you know, have been losing out, and that's the reason, you know, they have been struggling.
Right. Now, Ford's exit is reported to have a big impact on the ancillary sector, with a great many MSMEs and, according to some estimates, about 40,000 jobs are being affected. Could you throw some light on the state of India's auto ancillary MSEs today and how they are coping with the dip in sectoral growth since 2019?
Yeah, I think it's really disheartening. You know, I'm sure it must be disheartening for, you know, MSMEs, you know, that a player like Ford, you know, ceases to exist in India, you know, or ceases its operation in India. So I think, you know, players like Ford or the global OEMs, you know, they bring a lot of technology, you know, they bring a lot of education, you know, they bring a lot of learnings, you know, for these MSCs for their, you know, employees for the people, you know, who are directly or indirectly working with these suppliers, you know, because, so I think this is a great part, you know, and moreover, if you see players like Ford, you know, they have been exporting a lot of parts and cars from India, you know, so somewhere this also infuses confidence in MSMEs that they can also make in India and export to the world. So now if you don't have players like Ford in India, you know, then obviously these MSMEs are going to lose this opportunity, you know, not only in terms of, you know, financially, that they will not be exporting and, you know, their margins will be hit, but parallelly because their learnings, you know, will not be to the extent, you know, and they will be, you know, sticking with the old technologies, because I think players like these are very important, you know, like GM or Ford or, you know, maybe other global players which are in India, like VW or Nissan, because they really help our suppliers, our MSMEs to grow, you know, and adapt new technologies, you know, because and if these players are not there, then I'm sure, you know, India is missing something, the suppliers is missing something. And that is why I said, you know, that it's time for all of us, you know, for the government, for the OEMs, you know, for the suppliers, to really introspect. And maybe, you know, I will say that these days, the central government is quite open to ideas, you know, so maybe it is time for us to introspect and give our suggestions, you know, to the central government that what should be tweaked, you know, so that we don't see exit of such big players from India, because at the end of the day, it's a loss for everybody, you know, who is there in the ecosystem.
Right. Let us hope then that the decision by Ford to stop manufacturing serves as a wake-up call for us here, for the government especially. And we hope that there is somebody who can press the reset button on the regulatory regime and the taxation aspects and all these various dimensions, so that you, as you rightly pointed out, we come up with a coherent roadmap that would infuse confidence into all those who are invested, all the stakeholders in the Indian automobile sector. Thank you so much, Puneet. Pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sampath. It was really great talking to you. And thank you very much for listening to this podcast.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.